So we're live with the first episode of the Anfield Talk podcast. So I'm here with at Dare to Hendo.
Yep.
How's it going? And I'm also here with the LFC Smart.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'll call you your Christian names now. So we're with Daniel and James from Twitter. And we were supposed to have another guy with us, Zane, but there has been a bit of a real life emergency. So I hope everything's going okay, Zane. Not sure where you are or what you're doing, but good luck anyway, buddy. So, basically, we have a couple of things on the agenda. A couple of things have happened this morning. One of the things is the saga with Balotelli. So, some fans have actually been defending Mario Balotelli. What do you guys think?
Do you want to go first about it?
I mean, it's a difficult situation because he's utter crap, and that's very hard to get around.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way he ever seems to function is when he's got an arm around his shoulder and the team's played around him and everything is perfect for him. So it's difficult. It's difficult to fit him into any team.
Exactly. Like, it's the attitude as well, like off the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that was the whole, like, Instagram saga of what he put down.
Yeah. I mean,
like, racism and stuff. Like,
I mean, I don't know what anyone thought whenever we originally signed him, but I was actually quite happy that we had signed him, and I kind of thought, well, hold on, experienced Premier League striker, he can score goals.
Yeah. You
know, maybe we're onto something here. But
I thought he would fit into the team well.
Yeah.
Like, with the people he had around him. Because I thought at the time that people like Sterling and Ibe would like be the fast people around and be able to cross it okay, but apparently it didn't work like that very well.
Yeah.
It worked okay against Spurs when we played the Diamond with him and Sturridge and Sterling behind, but then we just gave up on that. Sturridge got injured, but...
I mean, he cost $16 million from AC Milan. Rodgers described him as a calculated gamble. I mean, it's fair to say that the calculated gamble will not pay off no matter what happens this season or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, $16 million for him will never get anywhere near remotely close to that. So, I mean, I think we just have to cut ties as quickly as possible. I think that's what James Pearce was kind of saying in the Echo this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are inclined to make this sort of a comparison between Lambert, who is a Liverpool fan at heart, has the model sort of a reputation that you'd like, and he's just a great guy all round, and he's gone yesterday.
Yeah.
After scoring a good couple of goals and 36 appearances in a red shirt. And then Balotelli, in comparison, is just not the player that you'd want, and he has that checkered past, as you were referring to there, and, you know, it's just difficult, but... I mean, I don't think you can make the comparison, but I think that we have to just cut ties with Balotelli. I think that's the only way we can go.
Yeah.
I think we've started already, like we've said, with all this new strikers we've brought in. He's nowhere near the starting 11. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what strikers have we got now this season? We have Sturridge, Ings, Origi, and Balotelli. Is that the four?
Benteke,
of course, yeah. I mean, out of those five... I mean, we have more in the academy, I suppose, but out of those five...
Five for me, though.
Barini still exists, but he'll be off soon.
Yeah, Barini, I suppose, still exists. But out of those five, Disklund and Barini, because in my mind he's already gone, you know, out of those five, I would definitely say that Balotelli is the fifth choice.
Yeah.
You know, I'd play Origi before I would play Balotelli in a game.
Yeah.
That's me. So, anyway... That's the Balotelli saga. There's little point in talking any more about it. Again, Ricky Lambert left yesterday for West Brom. Completed his medical in the morning, left the hospital, went, played, scored two goals. So, fair play, Ricky.
Yeah.
You know, sad to see him go, but he wasn't very good at the whole football thing.
It was the right decision, wasn't it?
It was probably the best decision for him. I'm just glad he got to play in the red shirt. That's probably...
Yeah, exactly.
The most important thing. I mean, he'll probably leave with very little regrets because he got his 36 appearances, he got his X amount of goals, he scored in the Champions League, he got that goal against Villa. at Villa Park, and you know everyone remembers that. So
opposite to Balotelli, there's no hard feelings at all. Everyone sort of understood the situation. We're all, even though we knew he wasn't that good of a player, and we complained when he played badly. There's no animosity towards the guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He had a good attitude towards everything. He just, you know, it's what you want to see in a footballer, very professional.
Definitely. So that's the story with Lambert and Balotelli. So basically, we've played, we've had a you know, an eventful enough pre-season so far. We've had four games. There's two more left to go. We had one behind closed doors, I suppose, and then there's two more to go. One in today against Helsinki in a couple hours at 5:30 our time, British time, and then a game against Swindon tomorrow. So the first game then was against Thai All-Stars.
Yeah, that was a 4-0 win.
It was.
It was in Bangkok, the Rajamangala Stadium. But they weren't that good of a team. But anyway, we played the first half team and the second half team. The first half team was Bogdan, Wisdom, Torre, Sako, Gomez at left back, Rossiter, Lucas and Teixeira. That was more of a 3 than a 2, which surprised a few people.
Yeah.
And Markovic and Ings either side of Lambert. It was either side because people thought it might be the diamond, but it was strange because it wasn't. It was more sort of inside forwards. The second half team was Mignolet, Klein, Skirtle, Love, and Maguire, the left back, the youth. Had the academy player because Moreno was injured or something. Henderson and Milner either side of Allen in a deeper role in midfield, and Ivan a lot on either side of Origi. It was a pretty routine game. Like I said, they weren't very good. They weren't really a team, and it was more just getting the confidence up. Markovic started all with a good finish, and Sako scored a great header from a corner. Lallana again with another nice finish. Probably he was one of the most impressive players. And Origi, although he missed quite a few chances, did score, which tells you something. But I thought the main major pluses were Henderson and Milner looked completely comfortable, and players like Markovic obviously scored. Ings had a few chances and missed them, but you can take positives from the fact that he was in the positions. And you can say, you know, with a bit more fitness, maybe he's putting those away. There was no real negatives because the defence, they were hardly troubled at all. It was just all about scoring. So the only thing you could possibly take away is that we didn't score more because it was fairly routine.
It was a bit of a mishmash of a tight side, so.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly.
I mean, none of these sides are going to be world class sides, but it's just important to get names on the scoreboard and build up some partnerships.
Exactly, like you say. Like Milner and Henderson playing together for the first time, Origi scoring. You know, it's all stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought the game was fantastic. To be fair, for the first game of our preseason,
it was great to watch, wasn't it? The football was brilliant.
I mean, to go from losing 6-1, the last game you've seen them, and then the next game you see is a 4-0, and it's, you know, it's a relative improvement, no matter who you're against.
Exactly.
It's an improvement. So the next game after that then was against Brisbane in Australia, Brisbane Roar. That was a 2-1 one.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was a fairly routine game. There wasn't too much to report about it.
Yep.
I mean, one thing that we have to take from it is how well Milner has fitted into the Liverpool side so far.
Yeah, he's done very well. I think people are already taking to him. You can see on Twitter and social media, people are already huge fans of Milner. They see what he does. They see the influence he has. So,
yeah, brings a lot of experience.
Yeah, he does. I think, you know. It's interesting about Milner because, again, kind of like people compare players all the time, is that of Milner and Gerrard. As much as you don't want to make it, people are going to compare. And I think that while he hasn't got anywhere near the same quality for me of, you know, even as an attacking player or whatever, as Stevie G, but I think Milner, you know, will be an anchor for the midfield and he'll be able to help us to push forward, but also track back at the right time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when you think about this squad as well, it is very young. Obviously, that's FSG's sort of model.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but so he needs somebody like Milner to just calm it down.
Yeah, he's an experienced head on strong shoulders. So,
yeah.
As I say, Brisbane game was just routine. It was a 2-1 win. You know, there's not much else you can say about it, really.
You can talk about the jump from that game, from the first one, how it was. This time we were playing against a team.
What was a formidable team? Yeah, a team we actually had played together. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they didn't have the same quality. It was, they had a team.
It was also, I believe, the debut of our absolutely gorgeous white away kit.
Oh, huge fan of the away kit.
We have to talk about it.
It is a nice kit. Not going to lie. I prefer the home kit, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, we had Ings and Origi again, starting up front, so it was just getting more performances out of Origi, who I haven't really been that impressed with. In the preseason, to be honest,
I've liked his movement. I've liked, you know, the way he's, you know, he's shown flashes, but like you say, he's been wasted. Yeah.
Well, we can hope
that'll go with age or with experience or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the starting lineup that day was Mignolet, Klein, Skirtle, Sacco, Gomez, Henderson, Lucas, Milner, Ings, Lallana, Origi. That's kind of been our go-to side for these preseason games.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a similar team that we played, you know, with a similar spine of the team that we played against Malaysia in the latest preseason game. But we can get to that when we get there. But, I mean, Gomez at left back, Gomez has impressed.
Every game we've seen him in, he's been very powerful defensively and going forward. It's been impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's been important to remember that. Milner scored the winner, actually, by the way, from that Brisbane game. So that was important. Milner scored the winner. And it was a lovely chip. I think Milner has settled in well. Lallana is another player that we have to talk about, has been fantastic, really, on the left-hand side of attack or wherever he's been played.
We all expected more from him last season. I think people have forgotten, actually, a little bit how good Lallana is or can be. I mean, he's not average, as people are trying to paint the picture of him being. He can still, you know, he can make a big difference.
I feel like he was sort of written off last season.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't perform to people's standards because the team wasn't performing to people's standards, and he was kind of written off as a bad job or a bad signing.
Yeah. I think people were like Markovic as well.
Yeah.
Moreno.
But then Markovic is wasteful. That's just my opinion. I mean, I haven't seen much of Markovic this preseason. I don't think anyone has, to be fair. But I'm
he's
just not.
Played since he scored.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame, really.
I would, to be fair, I'm not the biggest fan of Markovic, but I would like to see him get more minutes on the field.
Yeah, just to prove whether he's. You never want to make a decision when you don't know for sure.
You know, one thing that we haven't actually done so much this preseason is change at halftime. And that used to be the sort of customary thing that you'd play two teams, first and second half, but we've been changing around the 72nd minute or so.
Yeah, we only did that in the first game. Other than that,
that was it, yeah. Other than that, because the next game was against Adelaide, and it was a 2-0 win.
What you've seen is strong first teamers start to emerge.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that's more what it's been about, because Roger's biggest problem this season will be picking a starting 11 and sticking to it.
Exactly. I think what we'll find, though, is if one does work, it'll play again. Yeah. And that's something to look forward to, how, you know, this time, if something does work, one injury isn't going to wreck the whole team, because we've got someone who can step in and do the same role. If not,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's certain players who have played in each of the four games and who will just be your given starters. I mean, Mignolet probably won't be bothered too much by Bogdan. Klein is the next one.
Skirtle
usually plays. And then move into midfield, because the rest of defence is a bit shaky. I don't know if he's going to go with Gomez at left back, but that seems to be the thought at the moment. And yeah. Gomez has travelled to Finland today. I mean, Henderson and Milner in midfield is another partnership that I don't think will be broken up too much this season.
I think the only question is defensive midfielder with them, isn't it? Because there's Luke, yeah. People are saying Lucas, Chan, everyone's a huge fan of, me included, I think he'd be fantastic.
I'm the same, yeah. I think Chan needs to play there.
Chan. Yeah,
but there is also, he deserves to play there, yeah, as well.
There is also a risk of, well, risk, I think it's a risk, of playing Allen at defensive midfield, where it works when you're in possession, but not when you're out of it. And I do worry that Rodgers might trifle with that a little bit.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I know Allen has kind of got this blue-eyed boy reputation where he's come in from Swansea, where Brennan was, and that's, you know, he's been brought in kind of along with Lovren, where he's been spearheaded by Brennan, not the transfer committee. But I honestly don't. I think Brennan has lost a certain amount of faith in Allen recently. Because he just hasn't been getting the time on the field lately. I mean, the midfields that we've usually played has been Lucas, Henderson, Milner, Ibe, and then you take your pick from, you know, Lallana or whoever you've got, and then he's bringing on Jordan Rossiter, or he's bringing on, you know, Chiravella to go in behind the striker, or he's bringing on someone else. But Allen hasn't actually featured too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
So it'll be interesting to see if Allen does get playing longer.
I hope that that's the case, because we do need a strong midfield unit. No matter, like I said, no matter what happens this season, no matter what players he chooses in terms of quality, all I want to see is that when he's got the players at his disposal, we have to have a good team. Because that's the basics. So that, at the very least, that's what I'm hoping to see. If not, then I think it will be time for him to go.
You see, I would agree, but it is going to be difficult. He's made his own problems for himself by buying too many midfielders, in my view.
Yeah.
Because now you've got the problem of Coutinho, Firmino.
Yeah, exactly.
Lallana.
Well, that's it. It's only too many. It's only too many if he doesn't use them correctly. If he uses them well, then suddenly he's got, you know, this wonderful like depth. It all depends on how he utilizes them.
Perhaps. I mean, it does give us a depth, I agree with that, but he still has to find a starting lineup and stick to it. That's my biggest
problem. Exactly, yeah.
That's what he did in 2013-14 when we almost won the league. You know, we had this starting lineup with SAS, and then you were guaranteed that Gerard Henderson, you know,
Coutinho. It was Gerard Henderson and Coutinho was the midfield three.
Gerard Henderson, Coutinho was the midfield three. Solid. You play in that 4-3-3, and then you've got a fairly consistent defence as well. And I mean, at the end of the day, you can have all the quality in the world, but if it doesn't gel right, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
That was our problem last season. So, moving on anyway, the next game was against Malaysia. And Malaysia then was, that was the 24th of July. And that was the famous game where we conceded to Ronaldinho after 13 minutes. Not the one that everyone would think, which is why Bogdan got a right slating after it. But anyway, the starting lineup we had was Bogdan, Klein, Skrtel, Lovren, Moreno, Lucas, Henderson, Milner, Ibe, Lallana, and Origi. So, I mean, Bogdan really didn't have a whole lot to do all game. And then this is where I'm starting to see that this starting 11 will be a consistent one, because Klein at right back was solid. You know, he was physically strong. He didn't have too much of an attacking threat, but I feel like Moreno kind of makes up for that on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And all we need is someone who can cross the ball towards Benteke or to whoever. You know, Moreno's a good crosser of the ball. He's just not the best tracking back, but Klein and Moreno are kind of opposite, so I feel like that would work. Maybe not, I don't know. Maybe you need someone who's got a bit of both, but I just don't feel like we've had that sort of a fullback since Steve Finnan left. But anyway, so we had Skrtel then in the middle. Skrtel was reliable, but he slipped in the second half. I mean, I spoke a wee bit about this before we started recording. I would tend to worry whenever he comes up against more formidable opposition this season. I know he's been with Liverpool now since, God knows when, 2008 was it he signed, 2007? But yeah, you know, he's been with them for so long, and he's been in the Premier League for so long. He's an established Premier League midfielder at this stage. But I just feel like at times he gets caught out. At times he's a bit too rash.
It's all about the midfield for me. If you protect that defence, I don't see Skrtel being too rash. I think he does that when he's exposed and he feels like he has to
Yeah, I agree with you.
He steps out.
I just worry about Skrtel getting yellow cards too easy and picking up yellows and reds and giving away too many penalties. We saw it last season. The next person that we had beside Skrtel in that partnership was Lovren, and he worries me even more.
Oh, just...
I get so worried.
I mean, you talk about a blue-eyed boy reputation with Joe Allen. If there was anyone on the team who summarised that sort of reputation, it's Lovren. Because he was out-muscled by Ronaldinho for the goal.
I don't even dislike Lovren. Again, you saw at Swan at Southampton what he can do with a good midfield, a good defensive protection in front of him. But
yeah,
he should not be starting ahead of Mamadou Sakho. He's starting for France ahead of some of the best centre backs in world football, he's not a certain starter for Liverpool FC. He wants the Champions League. It's ridiculous.
No, it is.
I just don't know where to go. I mean, he missed four chances up front then, within the space of about 15 minutes.
Mm.
He missed a couple of headers from 6 yards that he should be banging in every day of the week.
And, exactly.
You know, so then you have Moreno then at left back, who I've kind of alluded to before. He's pacey, you know, he goes forward a lot, but he's just a bit shaky defensively, I would think.
But I think that's where Klein makes up for it, though. On the other side.
That's what I think. But then, you know, I would give Big Joe Gomez a go at left back.
Yeah.
I honestly would. I'd like to see him up against the likes of, oh God, you know, what wingers have you got now in the Premier League? You know, your Eden Hazards and your Santi Cazorlas or whoever's
coming
up against Alexis Sanchez, there you go. Whoever's coming up against him. I was gonna say Nani, but he's gone now. You know, that sort of an idea. I'd like to see Big Joe Gomez get thrown in there because it happened with Flanagan and he benefited from it.
What I will say about Gomez is that what impressed me was, as much as his footballing ability, was how athletic he is. Like, big, strong, and he's not, you know, some centre backs are big and strong and quick, but they're not agile. Very agile.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I was very impressed with the way he moved around the pitch. So if you put him against a better player, even if he does. Yeah, be often an athletic enough player can sort of prevent, you know, terrible damage being done.
You know, at the very least, I'd like to see him stay and fight for his place week in, week out. Put him on the bench is right, yeah. Put him on the bench or, you know, rotate even between Moreno and Gomez.
He's decent cover as well because he can play centre-half as well. So
that's it. He's cover for Skrtel or Lovren whenever they... You know, if they get injured or suspended, or if they mess up some week, but anyway,
a very wise signing.
Yes, I think so too. Henderson then and Milner, the midfield dynamic partnership.
I don't think anyone's unhappy with that. I mean, they provide the defensive protection and they've got enough quality. I think Henderson often doesn't get appreciated how much forward quality he has.
Well, you see, out of the previous three preseason games up as far as this. Henderson has been fantastic, really. He's been excellent. He's just been thrown into that captain's role and he's excelled. But I think in this Malaysia game, I don't know what happened, but the whole team just wasn't, you know, pinging the ball about as fast as they were in the previous games.
Who started up front in that game? Do you remember?
It was Aib, Lallana and Origi were the attacking players.
That's a decent amount of movement as well.
It is, but you know, they had all the pace in the world in there with Moreno, and I mean, Klein is pacey when he goes forward. He doesn't go forward often, but he is pacey.
Didn't he get an assist that game?
But Henderson in this game was quite poor for me. His passing was wayward, it was sloppy, you know. I mean, he linked well with Milner and Ibe, to be fair, and on a better day, you know, with Henderson in the middle and Milner... And then Ibe out wide, you know, that they probably will form a good partnership, the three of them.
Well, another good thing about Henderson and Milner is that, you know, even if they're not having the best day, they're still giving you some base for other players to So at the bare minimum, they're helping the team.
Better than the time we used to go up against teams like Atletico Madrid in the Europa League and start Jay Spearing. You know, it's just better options for Henderson and Milner that we have, and I mean, Allen can fit in there. I don't have a huge problem with Allen.
I like Allen as a central midfielder, but not as a defensive midfielder or a holding midfielder.
Yeah, I'd agree.
No, he doesn't work as a defensive midfielder. He's there for his passing, not for his like.
Yeah, he gets brushed past.
Exactly. That's the problem.
His passing is fantastic, though.
Oh yeah. Oh, we've had some fantastic games with him at central midfield. Like we've beaten really good teams with him there, but yeah. It doesn't work anywhere else.
No.
Exactly.
And then you had Milner, obviously, and I mean he was quiet in this game and he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't do anything outstandingly right. I think the whole team was just off in this game, to be honest, because they just, as I say, they just weren't pinging it about as fast, and the play wasn't as advanced, and it wasn't as fast, and they just weren't moving as quickly. Probably the result of a lot of travelling.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, if you think like the first half of the season were, well, the first game where it was like, you know, 4-0 win, Henderson whacking out a Rabona out of nowhere.
Yes. have to get that in there.
Exactly.
His release of character.
It is a release of character. There you go. Brendan will be proud. It's just such a change. You can see how like traveling's affecting them and stuff.
I mean, that's why I'm trying not to be too cynical about this game where we're drawn with Malaysia XI. I mean, to be fair, they were getting ready for some important international games as well, so they were at probably the peak of their fitness and their training and things.
Isn't it like midway through the Malaysian season as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
So we had Ibe, Lallana, and Origi. May as well start with Ibe. Ibe scored our goal after 28 minutes after we'd gone behind. It was just a fantastic strike. I don't know what else there is to say about it.
I feel like he's improved he's just become a bit better from last season, and if he continues doing that,
It's great how he has improved, because last season he like really showed himself, and the fact that he's been able to improve from that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Well, the shots that he's having are hitting the bar or going wide, and now every now and again they're going in or they're forcing the save. There's just subtle changes.
I can just relate him to like how Sterling was when Sterling tried his hardest. He just looks so much more positive, so much more
powerful, definitely, in terms of just raw physicality.
That's it. He was pacey, he was powerful. He had that strike, obviously, and then he had many more chances at goal that he probably should have scored. One place I'd like to see Ibe this year, and this I might get a bit of stick for this, but I'd like to see Ibe as the Fairclough sort of super sub, where we have him on the bench to come on and make an impact
That's always the best way with sort of, I think, with young players who've got that talent, but it's sort of...
I think so too.
Because that's basically what Tottenham did with Townsend, and Townsend's nowhere near the player that Ibe is. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, Ibe is still a bit young yet to be getting...
He's still raw as well. He's not Raheem Sterling. He's not ready to start every game and take a senior role. He's still...
Exactly. So I'd like to see him in the Fairclough role. Come on and replace somebody like Lallana, who's a complete workhorse, or Henderson, or, come on late on in the game.
The good thing is we've got a few players who could be used as super subs, because we have so much depth now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see Ings in the same role. I don't think Ings...
No, I think Ings is too young at the moment for, like... The fact that we've got Benteke now as well...
Benteke's another one of these gambles, like Balotelli. I think Benteke has to start every game.
We've got him at the right age, at least, where he's sort of on the cusp of reaching his peak. So we'll know now in the next season or two seasons if he is going to improve and reach the next level.
I mean, that's one of the problems with Balotelli, is that we gave him inconsistent game time, because it's back to this thing where we didn't have a solid starting lineup that we kept.
Yeah.
So, I think it's just probably the best way to start Benteke every game, and maybe build the mold midfield around him.
I think I can see us doing that because he put Origi up front in pre-season, and sort of it was almost like because the way he was dropping deeper than he usually does, Origi, he was sort of coming. I felt like he'd been I could see Benteke, more of Benteke's role than what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So we had Lallana then and Origi, who you were talking about. Lallana looked dangerous and sharp in the game. He got a goal in pre-season earlier on before this. He hit the bar with a deflected effort. You know, there's not too much to say. He was just his usual workhorse sort of getting in everywhere. He looked pretty sharp.
Yeah. I think it's a shame that last season he didn't get played as much because he is a bit of a workhorse. And
he's another one that at the very least, even if he isn't having his best game, at the very least he's helping the team.
That's it, it's kind of like third
player. If you have three of them, it's very unlikely that all three of them aren't going to be able to produce something.
That's what you have with Henderson, Milner and Lallana.
Yeah.
You know that bit of that trio there.
Firmino is apparently quite a workhorse as well, as in
I've heard that.
Quality. Yeah, he is.
I can imagine sort of Benteke in the middle and then Milner, Henderson, Firmino and Lallana all just buzzing around him.
I've
got an image of that, and I think that's what Rodgers might be going for.
I know there's plenty of people who, you know, we sign someone and then they claim to be these experts on these players. Oh, they've watched them at their previous clubs and all that. I won't claim to be like that because I'm not, but I do think that he is a bit of a workhorse for me. No, I think that he obviously played well for Hoffenheim. That's what
I have gone back and looked at like Hoffenheim highlights and the goals he scored and little tricks and stuff he's done.
Has anyone seen the goal? Go ahead, sorry.
He does just kind of, he is kind of like a bit of a catalyst in the middle and just manages to work it, and he scores as well, and when he scores quality goals.
Yeah.
Oh, what were you going to say, sorry?
I was just going to say if anyone had seen the goal that he scored where he was looking the other way because he went past
the keeper. Yes. Big fan of that.
It's just slick. And I mean, there's another one too where does he take it over the shoulder and then hit a volley or something?
He flicks it with the back of his heel over
flicks
his
it with the back of his heel, that's what it is.
Control it. And then volleys his own and it's just, there's nothing you can do to stop that.
Yeah.
He plays well for Brazil as a striker, though, that's the...
Exactly. And what made me so happy about him is that he isn't like Coutinho, so like I said, Coutinho sort of likes it to get it deep and carry it forward. Firmino, he'll be the movement, he'll be the pass rather than...
Coutinho and Firmino work well together, but it's hard, like, having the Brazilian link between those two, and then you've got, like, the English link with Henderson, Lallana.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a hard decision, to be honest, for Brendan.
I mean, I don't see why you can't play them all. I feel like Lallana, Coutinho, Firmino, Henderson, Milner.
I feel the only way that can be...
Going backwards, you know, like Henderson, Milner in your two midfield positions, a sort of a three in behind Benteke of Coutinho, Lallana, Firmino.
That could work.
Benteke. I mean, I don't know if you're clouding it too much there or if you're, you know, if you're filling the midfield too much there, but I think it's worth a go.
Well, because it's only filling the midfield if those three players, you know, behind Benteke aren't getting close enough to him. You've got runs everywhere.
That's it.
Yeah.
I will say about Benteke, because I was really concerned about when we first signed Benteke. I wanted to know what he was about, what kind of player he is. And I noticed from watching videos, I watched a few like match highlights and all that stuff. For Villa, he seems to drop back and drop into sort of midfield and have runners beyond him, pass, and then go and get on the end of it or try and get near the end of it or something like that.
I feel like that's what kind of Balotelli was all about last season.
Exactly, that's why it worried me because I was thinking, what we really need is sort of runs in behind. But then I looked at the other players that we had and thought, well, we brought in that. And then I looked even further back. It was in Benteke's career when he played for Genk. And then his game was everything he used to be, running behind. So it makes me calmer knowing that Benteke can adapt to sort of what is required of him. So if he needs to run in behind, he'll do it. If he needs to drop deep, he'll do it. So that has actually made me feel a lot more confident about him. I'm still undecided on his quality, but what I no longer fearful of is his role in the team. I think I think he can. He does have a place in this team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if he doesn't run in, like, as much, we've got people who can score in those areas. Like, Lallana definitely can.
Exactly.
Firmino can. Milner can, as we've seen pre-season. It's it, and then Henderson even as well. It's we've just got so many. I think I'm actually quite hopeful for this season. Like, just by looking at pre-season and reviewing everyone,
I'd be really confident. I'd be absolutely, like, very, very confident if I knew that it was going to work as a team, because we've got the quality. That's the only question. I don't think anybody who looks at Liverpool's squad and with an unbiased view can say that we don't have the quality to compete with United for top four. I think it is just United, but I don't think anyone could say that.
I know. But then again, looking at the first preseason game, I know the team we're playing isn't, like, the best team in the world, but we were pinging it about everywhere, and it was just good to watch, which is what I like to see. And if we can do that in the league, then we're going to be pretty formidable.
I mean, the thing is, you know, the important thing is that we have to have a team, and that's, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there, really, James, because having a team is the most important thing. You can have as much quality as you want in the world, but, you know, they have to gel well together.
Well, you pointed it last season at the Madrid game, the away game, where individually our team was nowhere near the best, but that was actually one of the best teams
in the whole
season. We could have won. Barini had that goal disallowed. It was rightly disallowed, but he still had the goal. You know, but just because we had a system that was working. We had Alan and Chan and Lucas, was it, in their actual positions as a midfield three. And, you know, everyone, you know, Barini was moving around up front. Everyone knew their position. So imagine that, but with better players, and you can imagine what we can do, what we can actually achieve.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you put it like that, then it does increase confidence a lot.
But the problem is, you just don't know whether we'll do that or whether we'll revert to what Brendan did last season at times.
Yeah. I mean, it is difficult to know, but he's got to get the squad right. I'm just reading here now, this is the squad that we had that night against Real Madrid in the Bernabeu. Mignolet, Manquillo, Skrtel, Kulukure, Moreno, Chan, Lucas, Allen, Markovic, Barini, Lallana.
Yeah, you see, what I remember distinctly is that midfield three being rock solid as a unit, because they all knew their role.
Yeah. I mean, it'll remain to be seen. We're making another hint of it today, because we do have a game today against Helsinki in Finland. So this is the squad then that has come out to Helsinki. We have Mignolet, Fulton, Klein, Lovren, Skrtel, Gomez, Maguire.
Starting 11 just been announced.
Oh, it has?
Yep.
Who's in the starting 11?
Enlighten us. Here we go. Mignolet, Klein, Skrtel, Lovren, Gomez, Henderson, Milner, Coutinho, Ibe, Lallana, Ings. Oh, so yeah, he might be doing what you're saying and going with the Henderson.
He's no, I'm happy with that. That sounds like a good start.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought might
I
work.
Think, you know what? I think that's what he's going to do. Henderson, Milner, Coutinho will be the three.
Yeah.
That would be quite good.
That would be very good.
I'd love for nothing more for us to turn back to the 4-3-3 that we did so well with the Tiger Woods one league.
I think it's more of a sort of 3-2-1 if you imagine Benteke with sort of Lallana and Firmino either side, and then Coutinho, Henderson and Milner is that three.
Yeah.
Then that, again, we have seen like Lallana and Firmino play as wingers as well, and they have done all right there.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Firmino play as a winger for half a time.
It gives us options, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, which is we've got, as you said before, we've got the diversity, and that's what we need.
That is a very. If I'm just looking at the team now. Imagine sort of Sacco for Lovren, Firmino for Ibe, and Benteke for Ings, and I can see that being our starting 11. Yeah. Realistically,
I'm the same. So basically, we're going back to Helsinki. This is our first visit to Helsinki since 1990, when we won 2-0. Ray Houghton and David Burrow scored that day. So there's been four previous fixtures between us anyway, but it's not really important. The game's going to be played in the Olympic Stadium, and it holds around 40,000 fans. I remember James Pearce from the Echo saying this morning that tickets were still being sold. Obviously, Helsinki are the current champions in Finland. They won their 27th league title last year, so they should be a fairly formidable opposition.
Yeah.
Well, sure, like, there'll be a team, won't they? That's another thing. You know, I think any good team gives you at least some, like, some a decent game, whether it's not a spectacular game.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I mean, the important thing to remember here is that Coutinho's back, which is important. You know, so we will get a better idea of who's going to start against Stoke next week. All we can do really is just watch and see. Do we have any score predictions?
I don't know the quality of them, but I'm going to go for, I'd say 3-1 to Liverpool.
Yeah, I was going to say 3-0.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to go like 3-1.
3-1, yeah. 3-1, 3-1 and 3-0. I mean, it's, I don't know, Helsinki aren't a team of the probably of the best quality, but they'll give us an idea. So that is it, basically.
Yeah.
We kick off in just over an hour at 5:30. It's on LFC TV. So what way do we think they'll line up?
For Stoke.
Well, for today and probably for Stoke, to be fair.
I'm happy with today.
I'd imagine the team that we're going with today is sort of back four is pretty obvious. Yeah. Henderson, Milner, Coutinho. I think I have a feeling it might be a three and not Henderson, Milner as a two. Yeah. And even if it is, Coutinho will drop deep out of nature because he likes to pick up the ball and great.
He said something I had thought about was a 4-2-1-3 with, you know, you've Klein, Lovren, Skrtel, Gomez, obviously. And then Milner and Henderson drop back in that sort of Lucas Allen sort of a role. Then you've continued just in front of them. And then you have Ings, Origi, Lallana.
What I think Rodgers is going back to is his beginning philosophy where he likes everything to have sort of a movement and fluidity about it. And I can imagine him saying to Henderson, Milner and Coutinho, what maybe one time one of you goes forward and the other picks up the ball deep and create, you know, I mean, sort of this interchangeable.
Yeah.
Any of them can do any role, sort of.
Yeah, that would be good.
I don't think there are any better players on the side to do that than Henderson, Milner, and Coutinho.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
you know, whether we get some snazzy nickname like HMC or something going by the end of the season, we'll see.
But, maybe if they do well.
Yeah. But I mean, I honestly think they can be a good partnership. I don't know about up front. I don't see Ings starting in the Premier League. I don't see Origi starting in the Premier League.
We're just waiting for Benteke.
Yeah, I think Firmino and Benteke will come in where Ings and Origi are currently.
Yeah.
But that's just me. You see, maybe you have Milner Henderson as a back two, and then you have Coutinho, Firmino, and Lallana on either side, and then you have Benteke up front. On his own.
But it's difficult to tell with just a team sheet whether it's 4-2-3-1 or or midfield 3. I'd like it to be a midfield 3. And maybe Coutinho will drop there anyway, but you don't know until you see it.
I'd like them as a midfield 3. I think there could be an option for a lot of fluidity but also solidity there with, you know, the gauging between attack and defence. But yeah. I'd like to see Coutinho in that number 10 sort of pocket and behind Benteke.
Yeah, but I feel like he's, I personally anyway, I feel like he's better running into that with the ball rather than sort of being in that position, getting it and turning. That was what Sterling did, you know, that's what, think about how successful we were the 13-14 season. It was when Coutinho was deeper and Sterling was the one making runs, you know, sort of being the middleman in an attack. That's what Firmino will probably do as well. I think I'd prefer to see Coutinho deeper carrying it forward and, you know, making the passes and shooting from distance.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It'll just remain to be seen. We'll see today. Perhaps today will give us an idea because I honestly think Ings and Origi are good enough representation in this lineup for Firmino and Benteke, but that's
exactly
that's what I think. But, I mean, it depends. and what he's planning to do with them. So I suppose we'll see when it all kicks off.
I think it all comes down to what we've been saying about how Rodgers now has no excuse because everything's his way. He's got his system. He's got all the players that can play any kind of team that he wants to play. There's nothing blocking his tactical brain now. It's all about, does he have a good enough tactical brain?
You see, someone else here on Twitter, J82_LFC, has said that there's no DM employed and it's back to a 4-2-3-1 with Henderson Milner as, you know, the partnership, and then Ibe, Lallana, Coutinho, and then Ings up front on his own, which is something I think could work with Benteke if you've got Coutinho in the middle, Lallana on one side, Firmino on the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they could go that way. But I don't know.
I wonder if we'll change it specifically to the teams that we play.
Yeah. You see, I'm not sure. I think that's what he tried to do last season, and it didn't really work out for us.
But then again, he sort of tweaked it in the 13-14 season, where at times I remember Suarez went to right wing, and we played Sturridge straight down the middle. You just don't know.
Very small changes, though.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what he should do, where he should have a recognised starting 11 and maybe just sort of tweak the tactics in game. Like you say, instead of Lallana and Firmino being central, maybe say, right, push wide, something like that, something subtle rather than changing the whole.
You see, in terms of that would make sense, and I think, you know, where there's a starting lineup where the opposition fullbacks might not be as good, it might be better to throw Firmino and Lallana out wide, and then with trickery and things they can, you know, they can cause problems there and leave it open in the middle for Benteke and, you know, whoever else is there, Coutinho in the middle. But you need to have a versatile starting lineup for that. You have to have an 11 that you trust and an 11 that you rely on.
And know what they're doing. And know what they're doing.
Know them in and out. Know their qualities. Know their bad qualities. And what can go wrong. So, I mean, it'll just remain to be seen. I think this starting lineup that we have today is probably as close as we'll get without having the exact lineup. We'll know next Saturday, obviously, for Stoke, what the score will be.
Even then, though, if the new signings aren't in the team, it's
difficult because Firmino and Benteke are doubtable for starting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just don't know. Maybe that's the reason for leaving them home and only starting them tomorrow against Swindon. They might not even get playing tomorrow against Swindon, we don't know. But they are in line to start at the moment against Swindon or even future.
I think this is why it's so difficult to have any kind of confidence in this season. Because, like, there's reason to have confidence, but there's also reason to panic completely because it could all go wrong. So there's no real indication yet of which way it's going to go. It's all in the balance.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see, guys. As I say, Liverpool kick off now in more or less an hour and 5 minutes against Helsinki. We'll probably be back with a review show just to talk it all over and see how it went. Yep. So, does anyone else have anything they want to add just before we hang up?
To anyone who's watching or listening, you've shown great character for wanting to listen into this.
Yes. Hashtag release the character.
Yeah. Everyone needs to get that trending right now.
Yes. Hashtag release the character. That would be fantastic. And you'll never walk alone.